The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Five minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Dave Friedman with you on the Power Hour. Glad you could join us. This is going to be a fun-filled hour, it will be, because of the type of content we're talking about. Our show listeners, by the way, we want to thank everybody from Rents Radio, those listening to us on rentsradio.com, Jeff Rents's radio stream. We appreciate you joining us now that you're on with us full-time here from 11 to 1 Central. And we are streaming live there and on WWCR shortwave. We're all over the country when radio stations every which way. And we appreciate your critical thinking here on things that we discuss that have to do with you and the way you live, the way you survive. We talk about aspects of the Constitution of the United States of America. I know when I served during the Vietnam era, I took the same oath to uphold, defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. People seem to forget about that. Not that I took the oath, but about all enemies, both foreign and domestic. They think about the Constitution, but they don't think what it applies to and how it applies. Our guest today is a constitutional candidate for sheriff, running in the 19th most populated county in the United States, Wayne County, Michigan, which comprises Detroit and much of the major suburbs. And, you know, that's a tall order when you're looking at some place that is got over 2 million people or nearly 2 million people that, you know, has gone through and seen all sorts of hell throughout the years. Riots, you know, craziness. And John Tater, that is a tall order to be running for sheriff in Wayne County. I guess I could say congratulations. And since you were a lieutenant colonel in the military, I can thank you for your service as well. And the fact you took the same oath I did.
Am I on?
That's your cue, John.
That's my cue. Thank you.
Yeah,
I got to tell you.
Yeah, no,
I got to tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
The amount of radio broadcasts that I listen to, and I do listen to a bunch of others here and there, you mentioned Republic. We do not have a democracy. I just about jumped out of my chair and said, yes, somebody understands what's going on. And so I was pretty impressed with that. Because in Michigan, all of our politicians, and I'm going to call them public functionaries, and that comes from a Supreme Court case called Norton versus Shelby County, which I'm going to refer to off and on, they are a public functionary because they serve a function in government. That's it. That's all they do. They're not leaders. They're not officials, they're not politicians, they're public functionaries. And if you control the language, then you control the narrative. And so we have to get to the point where we control and they follow our language, not we follow their language. The other one that always drives me absolutely crazy is when they say overreach, government overreach, but it's really usurpation. And that is actually a criminal act because they've stepped outside their de jure delegated authority and they have done something that they don't have the authority to do. So I really, there's a lot of terminology that's being used by the deep state and or Democrats or lefties or whoever you want to call them. And those, that language that they use is the language that they want us to follow, and it's totally upside down, and we have to change that.
No doubt. And here's the thing. Now, you ran for governor in 2018 in Michigan on the Libertarian ticket. Obviously, the Libertarian ticket was a lesser party in the scheme of things. And of course, politics, the way it's played out in most of our United States, is a travesty these days, because we don't know whether we have honest and fair elections. And I guess here's the thing, if you could get in office, and obviously, John, you've been out campaigning like crazy, trying to convince people that, hey, there is a right way and a wrong way to do things. And if you look at what's happened in Wayne County at this point, you know, we would like to think that you're going to be on Fox News a lot if you get elected to the position. And they're going to call on you as far as the constitutional aspects, because if the feds come in and they start doing things that you don't like and you operate as a constitutional sheriff, you can tell those people, look, you're not welcome here. You get out. We don't need any more Wacos and Ruby Ridges in my county. And I'm not going to have you just in here messing with my public that, you know, they put their trust in me to duly constitute my duties as sheriff. And I'm not going to have you coming in here walking all over my duties and telling me that you've got jurisdiction when in fact you don't. I'm the chief executive as far as the ruling, the final say as sheriff in Wayne County, Michigan. Just out of curiosity, John, have you read Anderson's on sheriff? I know it's totally boring, but have you read it?
No, I can't say I have read that one. Anderson's on sheriff?
Yeah, Anderson's on sheriff. Yeah, it's a two-volume set, and I've got both volumes, and I'll tell you what, it will put you to sleep if you're not really totally ingrained in serving the people. But I'll tell you, there's some interesting points in there as far as how the Constitution gets applied. But now I know that you're affiliated, or not, maybe that's the wrong word to use. You're familiar with CSPOA and Sheriff Mack.
Absolutely. I did get his book. I did read his book some time ago. And it kind of falls in line with the way I think.
Okay. And I know that Richard would love to reach out and have a chat with you about being a member of CSPOA. I can tell you that. I've had Richard on the show multiple times. I knew you've been on the show before, but Richard's been on multiple times, and I respect him so much so I joined CSPOA, and I've been a member of Florida Sheriff's Association since 2012 and donate to their kids' camp because they are making a difference, and I love it. This is the thing. I've talked on the show before about Grady Judd. I know you know that name.
I know that name.
Yep, Polk County, Florida. And he's telling his people that if people come into your house while you're there to steal and loot your stuff, shoot them like grated cheese. And I'm like, wow. What's your take on his comments?
Well, I believe that if the criminals know that this kind of possibility exists, they'll go somewhere else where it doesn't exist. They're not interested in getting into a fight with somebody. They just want to steal your stuff. So, but if they realize that maybe you're armed, if you have that certain aura about you, even walking down the street, they're not going to bother you. That's what it takes in order to stay safe. Understand your environment, understand what's going on around you, and be prepared to tackle any situation that comes upon your that comes into your space. The problem with it is a lot of people that are afraid of their own shadow. And that's a sense that people gather, especially criminals. They can read that. They know what you're thinking, what's going on. So that's a problem. But if they realize that you are armed in your house, they'll go down to the street where somebody isn't armed. You got to understand that all the shootings that we've had so far have been in schools where guns are not permitted, or other functions where guns are not permitted, because those are easy targets and they're not going to get any blowback from the public. So that is an issue that we have to, we should be an armed society, I mean completely. When I went through high school, that's where I started learning the ropes about shooting. I took the ROTC program in high school. We had a rifle team. I shot on the rifle team. I eventually graduated to the military, and I shot on the 4th Army rifle team in competition for 10 years M14 rifles. So people that understand that you are armed and that you know how to use that weapon, they're not going to bother you, generally.
Right. Generally. But the thing is, you know, there are some that, you know, we think about Kyle Rittenhouse and people like that that are trying to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is every sheriff in every county in America, and there's over 3,040 some odd counties and boroughs and townships, and every sheriff, and I know Connecticut, I think, and Hawaii don't have sheriffs. They voted that out, which is kind of a disgrace.
Yes.
But the bigger problem, see, and I've been paying attention to this because I'm looking at stand your ground laws. I'm looking at castle doctrine because our constitutional rights, you know, they have the threshold rule. And I really believe that if the sheriff went so far as to educate the people in his county about what their rights were, and all about castle doctrine and all about the threshold rule and not letting people in without warrants. And you, I mean, really laid down the law the way the Constitution says it should be applied. Everybody would absolutely love you and keep voting you in every single time because Wayne County, Michigan would be the safest place on earth.
Absolutely.
I
agree
with
you.
It's just my thought.
100%.
It's just my thought, you know. So,
yes, no, it's a good thought. I do agree with you.
I'm just thinking that maybe that would be a great campaign platform to say, hey, if I get elected sheriff, I'm going to show the residents of Wayne County, Michigan, how to protect themselves and how to live safe and how to be safe. I really think they would appreciate you. I really think that should be part of your platform, John. I really do.
Well, I'm gonna look into that for sure.
Yeah, and, I love it because nobody else is doing it. That's the thing. Grady Judd, that's why I brought him up, because he's telling his residents, look, plug them full of holes if they show up. I mean, he did this when Antifa, you know, when that whole thing started erupting during the 2020 riots. He says, look, if Antifa shows up, blow them away. They kick in your front door, blow them away. You know, people
that's
don't
right.
understand. If they don't know what castle doctrine is, now there's some people out there that do understand the Second Amendment and how it applies. They want to know that, hey, if I shoot somebody in my house, that the sheriff's not going to come out and arrest me, you know, and charge me with something because I was trying to defend my family. And so, you know, if they understand what castle doctrine is and how it applies to them constitutionally and how the Second Amendment shall not be infringed, and this is what it means, and that means I'm not going to enforce federal law when they come in here and try to come in and take your guns. You know, this is what a lot of people want to know. Is that fair?
Oh, that's absolutely fair. I'm going to tell you something. The Norton versus Shelby County Supreme Court decision that was ruled in 1886, still good law, still 100% good law, and it was a 9-0 decision. It basically states in there that no government entity, executive branch, can ever develop or establish a de facto office. That means, and I've got to put it in more simpler terms, a de facto office is something that doesn't have constitutional authority. So if you look at the Constitution, is the Internal Revenue part of the Constitution? Answer no. Is the BATF part of the in the Constitution? No. How about FBI? No. Every alphabet organization that exists in the federal government and in the state government, Health and Human Services, does not exist according to Norton versus Shelby County Supreme Court decision.
I'm looking at the case right now.
Okay, good.
That's an 1886 case.
That's correct.
Yep, 118 U.S. 425, folks. And I'm looking through the passages here. An unconstitutional act is not a law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties. It affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed.
Absolutely.
So now,
so
go ahead. I'm going to finish and then hit you with a question. Go ahead and finish.
Okay, so that's one of the cases that I bring up a lot. In fact, that we have a group that meets on Wednesday nights on a Zoom, and I think you have the Zoom connection on your, I sent it to Catherine. And so we talk about Norton versus Shelby County in many aspects about what it means to be de jure. And if you see a police officer on the street, you might want to ask him, are you going to be a de jure officer occupying a de jure office, which means are you going to be a constitutional officer occupying a constitutional department? And most obviously people in the political arena don't know what de jure means, or they don't want to use it, because it kind of cleans up everything. It really kind of puts them on a spot, and they don't want to use it. I've used it in court many times. The judge pretends it doesn't exist in my documents, even though I bring it up. He doesn't want to talk about it. So my point here is that we have the power as individual citizens in this country to run our government, because it's we the people, for the people, et cetera, et cetera. So either it's in the Constitution, or then it has to be voted on by the people and made into an amendment of the Constitution. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. And the governments that are creating all of these alphabet organizations to go out and do and to harass the people, they have no authority to do that. It's not part of the Constitution, and it's not part of what they swore an oath to. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution says we have a republic form of government, and the article, I believe it's 5, says that every single person that takes office swears an oath to that Constitution and to uphold the Constitution. And yet, all I hear in Michigan is we have a democracy. Everybody that's on air talks about a democracy. We don't have a democracy. So they're trying to make us follow their language. We've got to make them follow our language. We have a republic. And if you say we have a democracy, then you're really too stupid to be in office, and we shouldn't be voting for you.
You know, that's good point. One. Good point, John. it's almost sounding like me. John, I should have you take over as the talk show host here, because you sound just like me. Wow. I gotta get back to the San Antonio cop that fired at a teen sitting in a McDonald's eating a burger that wasn't involved in the disturbance call, but because, in fact, he recognized the car and the plates didn't match, he felt compelled to go over and harass this kid. And then, I don't know the actual details, but the guy was still on probation, and he shot at the kid multiple times, and now the kid's fighting for his life in the hospital. He's 17 years old. Obviously, if you're a de jure officer and you're behaving like this, I mentioned a Barney Fife, because it just takes one of those. And he may have more than one bullet, obviously. And that's why Andy only gave him one bullet, because he didn't trust him. You know, because Barney gets a little, cockamamie crazy sometimes and starts, trying to decipher his own law and order rather than what's in the Constitution. And so, when you get something like this happening, the cop got fired, obviously, because the training protocols were violated. And I can't see, because the kid now has an attorney, San Antonio PD and the city of San Antonio is probably going to find themselves in a lot of hot water over this.
Well, that would be good, and they need to do that. People that they hired the wrong guy. They didn't run him through the tests properly. I mean, this cop was probably somebody that, I got a gun and a badge. Now I'm really powerful, and therefore abused his authority. Or maybe he didn't even understand what his authority was because of the process of the education. They brought him on board. They didn't run him through, this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. His training was ineffective. Obviously, if he was fired, he was stepping outside of his de jure delegated authority. So that's a problem. But people do that. You're on the street. You have a sp- specific situation happening. You got to be able to think fast, especially a police officer has to be able to think fast, has to be able to understand what's going on. And if he pulls that gun, he better be darn sure he's correct, not guessing. This is not shoot first and ask questions later. This is he better understand what's going on.
Well, somebody eating a hamburger, I find it very difficult when, you know, he can't just sit there and have a conversation with a kid.
Exactly.
And instead of approaching in a, what do they call that, a furtive and aggressive manner and freaking the kid out, and the kid puts the car in reverse and he tries to open the door and gets hit with the door. And now, oh, you assaulted the officer. Well, obviously they threw that charge out. The bigger problem is whether the cop violated the Constitution and the kid's rights. The kid wasn't even the age of majority, but the parents, of course, you know, all this comes into play. I think the parents need to educate the kids. They're not doing that. I think
right.
The sheriff, and here's another thing that really irritates me, John, is this defund the police crap. We hear it constantly, and it's like, look, if you want total mayhem and total anarchy, eliminate the police department and see how long that lasts, because the people that actually want that kind of thing in power in place are going to themselves become the victims of it. I see no other conclusion.
Well, I believe that the defund the police process is so they can have a national police force. They're going to let so much chaos be created nationwide that the people are going to say, please do something. So they're going to say, okay, we're going to stab. This is what Obama wanted, was a national police force that he even spoke about when he was the de facto president, because he was a de facto president. So when he was in that position, he was talking about a national police force, like a brown shirts organization. We don't want that. We want to decentralize everything. We don't want anything centralized, because when it becomes centralized, the power is at the top, and we, the people, have no way to get to that top to change anything. So we have to keep it decentralized to our local levels, where we can kick people out easier, where we can actually go and address them if we have a question, go to a common council. How many people go to Washington and talk to Congress? If anybody can even get in there to talk to Congress. But you can do it locally.
Yeah, not on January 6th, John, that's for sure. Look what they want to do to all the people that showed up. You know, it's one of these things. Some of them are still in jail without a trial. What happened to the Sixth Amendment? So we're going to be back after the bottom of the hour break here with John Tater. He is running for sheriff in Wayne County, Michigan, on constitutional issues. So we're going to open the phone line so you can ask John a lot of questions, especially if you live in Michigan and Wayne County. We sure would like to hear from you. 28 minutes after the hour, we'll be back after the break here on the Power Hour. Stay with us.
We live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829. Right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Tuesday, October 11, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you so much to our Rents Radio folks and Power Hour listeners for joining us. Put on your critical thinking caps, if you would, because we've got John Tater back on the phone with us. He's running for sheriff. A constitutional sheriff in Wayne County, Michigan, which comprises Detroit and some of the burbs, the major burbs. There's some things that, you know, Michigan politics is crazy. Michigan, of course, and I know Detroit had succumbed to a lot of the residents there have been fighting because of these tax sales and whatnot. The sheriff is expected to enforce, you know, certain warrants and evictions and tax deeds and various things. And, of course, now a constitutional sheriff. Well, that sheds a whole different light on the circumstance in enforcement of the law. Because if the sheriff deems, after reading the case, and this is why I like sheriffs that have some legal acumen, if the sheriff reads what is in the law and reads what the court has ordered, and feels that this order cannot be legally enforced, the sheriff has the right not to enforce that law. John Tater, what do you think about that comment?
Oh, I think that's a great comment. I don't know how many of the people, the public, actually are aware of what was going on during the foreclosure mills that were happening, and actually what happened at the TCF Center. We're going to cover both of those. Mm-hmm. But
wait a minute. I got a name. It just hit me. Trout Law Firm. Trot and Trot. Yeah. Boy, that talk about foreclosure mill. You said foreclosure mill, Michigan, and all of a sudden that name just popped into my head.
Yep. Well, that takes us back a little bit when Sheriff Warren Evans was the sheriff of Wayne County at that time. And he, at one point, said, there's something going on here that I don't like, or my or whoever he's working for didn't like what was going on, and he was going to stop or suspend the foreclosures for a period of time until this situation was cleaned up. Well, lo and behold, about a week or two, or I don't remember the dates exactly, but Warren was supposedly found or caught or contrived, and I think it's contrived, fooling around with one of his deputies. And so in order for him to stay employed, he made a deal with the state of, with the Detroit people, to swap Benny Napoleon into the sheriff's office and put Warren into the police department as chief of police. I don't know that you could do that. Number one, Warren was elected, and Benny Napoleon was selected. But it happened. And Benny Napoleon stepped into that position of sheriff, and all of a sudden the foreclosures continued. They missed a beat, a half a day or whatever, 2 days. But things began to continue on the way they were before Warren was going to stop this. So then the question became, how did they get away with that? But they did. And then the second question happens a month or two or three later when Warren gets removed as chief of police of Detroit. So he got into a position where he was now selected, and they unselected him, and he was gone. Now, he's ran since then for executive of Wayne County, and he has gotten into that position, which is good from what I can see at this point. But now, what happened during the TCF Center, the 2020 election, where was the sheriff? Benny Napoleon was in charge. They were nowhere to be found around the TCF Center, and they certainly didn't do anything when they could have protected the vote, which is what their job was, to protect the vote, to protect the count of the vote. The sheriff was not available or not there to do his job. So going down the line, he ends up dying December 17th, 2020, after the TCF Center, supposedly from COVID, who knows, but that is immaterial. And the group of three people, Freddie Burton, who is the probate judge, by the way, if you ever get in front of him, if you have any money in your estate, they're going to take it from you. Freddie Burton and his attorneys, they bleed the people dry and I have this from good sources that have been in front of him. So this guy is not really what I would consider the best of judges. And he's the chief judge of the probate court system. And then there's Kathleen Garrett, who's been a clerk for as long as I can remember, probably 20 years or more. And then there's Kim Worthy, who is the prosecuting attorney, and she is prosecutes what she thinks is a good prosecution and doesn't prosecute others that people may be bringing to her that they feel she should be looking into and she doesn't. So this triad of three people picked this guy named Washington to be the sheriff of Wayne County. So Raphael Washington is selected by three people who I would not trust anybody with. I wouldn't trust them with a dollar out of my pocket because of what they've done in the past. But now we're going to be voting for Washington, who is the Democrat. And people that are just pulling the Democratic lever don't understand or don't look into the history of these people. It's not about voting for the party. It's about voting for the person. And we have a real problem in our state, and I'm sure nationwide, where people vote for that specific individual, that specific party. They don't care who it is in that party, just that it's a Democrat, and therefore they get voted on. So, again, Raphael was in power around December 1720. What did he do to try to find out what happened at the election, on the 2020 election? And the answer is nothing. So this is the sheriff that we have running Wayne County at the moment. And he's the only one that's running against me. There's a libertarian who doesn't do very much, so he's not going to get very many votes. But I've been supported by the Republican Party as a U.S. taxpayer because they want a constitutional sheriff. They're not supporting me because of the party. They're supporting me because of what I stand for. And that's what the people should be looking at. What does this guy stand for and how can he help? And the other comment that I got a couple days ago when I was at one of the rallies was, I thought Wayne County Sheriff was only for Detroit. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, we've never seen a Wayne County Sheriff car out in our area, which was an outlying area of Detroit. And that's true. The Wayne County Sheriff's cars are within the Detroit metro area, and they never stretch out into the suburbs unless they're hauling a person or something or going somewhere. But this is a problem because Wayne County, as you say, is very large in number. And what is the sheriff doing for the county? They're basically doing nothing.
Yeah, see, and you have all these townships out there. Because I lived in Livonia at one time out there in Plymouth, in that area, in the northwest area. And so, you know, we lived off Five Mile Road, very, very close to Rocky Colavito, who used to play for the Tigers. So, you know, this is when I was a kid and my dad was working in Detroit. So the thing is he used to go downtown, and I've been to Cobo Hall. I've seen all of that. But, boy, have things changed. The politics is, I'm not sure how much it's changed. That's been a long time. But it sounds to me as if you really have a lot on your plate to clean up if they vote you in.
Well, that's true. That's true. But if you see, the Wayne County stretches, and that's a good thing that it's such a big county because it would have a lot of power if we could fix the problems and people understand the Constitution and what their duties are in the civic side of it, that they should be voting, that they should be doing their civic duties. Because they live in a republic, and in a republic we volunteer to do this stuff. This is not forced upon us. You're not forced to go to jury duty. You want to go to jury duty because you want to. That is the fourth, actually kind of like the fourth branch of government. We have the power to do a lot. Throw a law out if it's not correct.
Nullification.
Nullification, that's what I'm looking for. We could nullify the law if it's incorrect and give, and set people free when the government and the system itself is trying to put a noose around people's necks. Which brings me to our dear Michigan Attorney General, Dana Nessel, who wanted at one time to build a secret one-judge grand jury to deprive her political opponents of their rights to a free trial. This is her thought process. And she's actually said, well, if you talk about COVID or you talk about this or you talk about that or you talk about the elections, we're going to put prosecution or we're going to do an investigation on you. She doesn't have that authority. And people need to understand that she really doesn't have authority as she is wielding the power she thinks she has. So Benson the same way. Benson didn't do her job to secure the election. Yeah, they say, but there's a court case called Webster versus Reproductive Services. Just because you say it so doesn't make it so. We need validation and we need proof that this is in fact the case. This is what you're saying. Prove it. So these are the problems that exist right now in Michigan. No wonder Michigan's upside down. We have Whitmer who was saying, fix the damn roads 4 years ago. Now these last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, she's got barrels everywhere. But for the first 3 years, nothing. Nothing was going on. And people's memories, I hope, are not that short, that they see this kind of stuff happening, that this is a political ploy, not actually something to fix the roads.
Well, and you were talking about Tudor Dixon during the break, and the fact that she was basically put in there by this triad that you're talking about, maybe of a different sort.
Yes, I would believe she was brought on board by the DeVosses, and there's a bunch of other names I just can't recall at the moment. There's three or four that are kind of running the Republican Party and running the RINOs, and there we have a ton of them, both in the legislature that decided to do nothing during the 2020 election, decided not to investigate. And these are basically Republicans, so they call themselves. And they are sitting in positions of power in the legislature, and they're doing nothing. They should have taken control, because who makes the laws in the country, in America, in each state? It's the legislature. The executive has absolutely, absolutely no authority to make any law, any whatever they want to call it, emergency act.
Well,
they don't
edict.
Have that authority.
Edict is what, is what most people say. Call him his edict. You act like the king and do the king's edict. So, John, out of curiosity, you had mentioned during the our first introduction here, you had when did you become familiar with the current setup here at the Power Hour? Because you kind of surprised me when you said you had two of my books. And I'm like, when did you get two of my books? Have you had them for a long time? And which books?
I've had them for a long time, and they're on the shelf somewhere. I'd have to find them to give you the titles. But I've been listening to the Power Hour since Joyce Riley, way before Joyce. I mean, when Joyce was on, this would be my morning coffee break, so to speak. And I listened through the other Dave, and then, of course, you. And I was kind of excited that you were coming on board, because we were kind of talking the same language. After reading your books and being involved as heavily as I was in the foreclosure stuff, in the foreclosure mill, I was very interested in all of that.
So now how are you involved in that?
Well, I presently am not. But when the foreclosure thing was coming on board, I was going through the law process. I was learning about the laws. I was learning about everything that was involved. I'm familiar with the Credit River case. I don't know if you're familiar with the Credit River case about you can't take a house if you don't offer something of value for that house, where the banks were printing money or printing digits and therefore taking over somebody's house because they didn't pay the digits back. This Credit River case,
Are we talking about Daly?
It's the guy that died several months later in a boating accident or
yeah, I think it was Daly.
Whatever.
Daly versus Credit River, the attorney that litigated that and convinced the jury. Yeah, Daly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that, amazing how that works.
Yeah. Some of this stuff has been in my mind, and you know, I still remember a lot of the fringe stuff, but I have to get back in and really dig a little deeper into it. I actually ran for Congress against David, was it King? King, the foreclosure guy, you know, Trot and Trot, the boss. He was running for Congress, and his comment was, I've always wanted to be a congressman. And then when he got into Congress 2 years later, before his term was up, I guess they asked him for money, and he said, I'm not going to do that. and then he resigned his position. But that's another whole joke.
It is. I've had experience against the Trot Law Firm because I had attorneys in Michigan, one in Southfield, one in Bloomfield, as a matter of fact, that does work on credit and consumer cases. And I still, on occasion, talk to him. His name is Adam Alexander. And, you know, I have given him a lot of detail. And I, at one time, called him up and talked to him, and he was watching football at the time. And I said, I hate to take you away from your sports, but I found something in the documents that you sent me, and there were some 30-some-odd documents in the chain of title that I think you need to be aware of. And when I told him this stuff, he freaked out. And he said, you got to be kidding. I said, no. And I said, this is very similar to a case down in Tennessee that I was working on, and I called the attorney, you happened to be a title company attorney, and I said, did you know that the borrower deceased herself before the deed of trust was recorded? And of course, Michigan is a mortgage state, but I said, the thing is that the deed of trust state in Tennessee, she actually took her name off of the title to the property, which is the act of deceasing yourself. And so she no longer was an owner. And then they recorded, after the loan closed, they recorded the deed of trust with her name on it. And it says in the deed of trust, like it does in mortgages, that the borrower claims that the borrower is lawfully seized of the estate. Well, when you take your name off a title and closing doesn't happen, and all of a sudden you've deceased yourself and you don't own it, you've breached your contract. And the attorney, I heard dead silence on the other end of the phone. He didn't catch this. I go, it's because you're not looking at the chain of title, and you better hope to hell that the lender doesn't pick up on that, because if they do, they're going to use it against you. You see, that's one of the reasons why I wrote these books, John, because like you, who cares about the Constitution and our rights under the law, when you sign a contract for a mortgage, you now fall under Article 1 administrative law. And that's why I bring that up. And that's why I put it in Clouded Titles in the Quiet Title War Manual, which is, I think, the two books that you've got. If you have the book with the picture of the sniper on the front, that would be the War Manual.
I think I do.
Yeah.
Now, this is what the cover looks like.
Yeah, we have these. The other one has the coffee stain on the front.
The coffee stain one I got.
The coffee stain one is Clouded Titles Mayday Edition. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why we put these out. In fact, when I was with a federal magistrate in Kansas City, MERS tried to have me thrown out of court. And the judge who was a magistrate, John Moffmer, never forget this. I was in the plaintiff who was in court suing Bank of America and MERS. We were in the jury room sequestered during the mediation, and he came in, and I stood up and I said, good morning, Your Honor, and shook his hand. And he goes, what exactly is it you do? And I gave him a copy of the book, and he burst out laughing when he saw the title, Clouded Titles. He started laughing, and he's like, now I know why MERS is upset. These guys know the law. It's just that they haven't found anybody to bring them a case they can put their teeth and wrap their heads around. So,
well,
you know,
I'm hoping
I'm hoping you get elected, John.
Thank you. I'm going to give you a little short one because I think we're running out of time. But I had a rental house that was foreclosed upon, and I took it all the way through the system using your book and using whatever knowledge I had. I had the court case done. I had it in front of the system in front of the magistrate, and Trot and Trot failed to answer my discovery. And so I turned around and I sent to Trot and Trot and to the court system. And this went on for months. I mean, it was just sat idle. Then several months later, I sent a motion to compel and or with, you know, the amount of the money of the house, which I don't remember now what it was. And next thing I know, I'm getting a telephone call from the judge, from the magistrate, saying, we're going to have a Zoom, or it wasn't Zoom, it was telephone at the time, conference with the Trot and Trot law firm. So Trot and Trot's on one end. I don't know, remember the name of the attorney. And I'm on the other end, the judge is in the center. So the magistrate then turns to Trot and Trot and says, well, you know, you're in default. You didn't answer the documents. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. And Trot and Trot says, well, you know, excusable neglect. We got such a big law firm here. It went from one attorney to another and somehow got lost. And the judge bought that. The magistrate said, okay, you got it. And I wasn't sharp enough to come back at it at that point. So, but that was my experience with the judicial system regarding a foreclosure. It was irritating, obviously.
It was. But it is irritating. Foreclosures just change the entire personality of the homeowner. And it happens over time. The longer they stay in it and stay exposed to it, the worst things get for them, and it puts a lot of stress on, and, you know, God love you for being able to survive that. That's why Adam Alexander is out there up in your county. So anyway, good to note. He's a good guy. I like him. He's a good consumer attorney. But anyway, and I've litigated cases with him as his paralegal and his researcher. So, wow. John Tater, again, if you're in Wayne County, Michigan, and you have the opportunity to get to the polls – and you want somebody that cares about your rights, this is the guy you want to vote for. I don't know.
Let's say opportunity. Let's say it's a need.
It is a need
to get to your polls. Yes.
Yep. And we appreciate you, John. Thank you so much for your time. And we appreciate you being a listener of the Power Hour and the fact that these books are available at the Power Mall, folks. John used them. You know, we are still here. We are still consulting. We're still doing Chain of Title. In the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Power Hour. And for those of you out there listening, just remember, God loves you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.